Okay, the lace the Rabbi Yana Rach Rabbi Yishim Ben Elazar Aver Cotton the God of Aver Cotton the God of Ben Yoma. A small limb of an adult and a large limb of a day one old child are equal to one another. Meaning measurements can be comparable. Tashra Tanir Yishim Elazar Shem and Kedela Suche Aver Cotton Shal Cotton Ben Yoma. Okay, how much mayim to carry out? Kedela Shuf Behem at a kilo, or equivalent used to rub and spread on an eye bandage. Kilo is an ointment or solution for treating the eye. And the white of an egg, the part of which the chick develops, can heal eye inflammation injury, and this cure is widely used throughout the ages. The next Mishnah is Hamotzi Chevel Kedei La'asot Ozen La'kupa, one who carries out a rope in order to form an ear-shaped handle for a basket. Kedei La'asas Tlai L'nafavul Kavara, in order to... this measure determines carrot regress is used to make a loop for hanging a sifter or a sieve. So naik de lichtov love kesher mochsin, ba motzi kesher mochsin is gonna be chayev. Okay, carrying out paper where there's no writing on it. Niar machok de lichrach al tsruchis katana shal plaitan, right, which is used to wrap around a small jar of perfume. Klaf kedei lichtov la parsha ketana shebetfilin, which is Shema Yisrael, dio, enough to write two letters. Tana Rabbanan hamoitzi shtar chov, ad shalo paro chayev mishaparos. Pater Rabbi Yehuda says, af mishaparo is going to be chayev neshet tzarech lo mai ben emras of asil lisho shtar parua. That's the difference. Rabbanan savri asil lisho shtar parua. Ve mutter lisho shtar parua. It's mutter to keep a repaid promissory note in someone's possession and use it as paper. Right, that's the machlokas here. Is it can you stall a shar perua, a shtar perua? Even if the lender is going to be neman and the borrower left the document in his possession after payment, the document must still be destroyed, and the paper might be left to an heir or given over, and he might try to innocently collect the money. Just to clarify, Ya'arod here on Amud Aleph is a pathological condition where a white line goes from the white of the eye into the iris, or a black line extends from the iris into the white of the eye. Kesher Muchsin is a tax collector's seal. It was customary at the time that the Rosh Hanar, the person in charge of collecting taxes, would appoint a tax collector collect the fees instead of him. Now, if someone actually paid or received an exemption from the Rosh Hanar, he would need proof to show the tax collector that he was indeed exempt from paying the tax. On 78b, the question the Mishnah has is the Mishnah says that one is chayav for carrying a piece of parchment from Rishus Yochid to Rishus Arabim when the parchment is large enough to write it on the smallest parsha in Tefillin, which is the parsha of Shema Yisrael. Now, this is the smallest complete parsha that is normally written alone on a piece of parchment. And the Tosfos Yontov explains that people used to write this parsha for themselves on a small piece of parchment to read Kriya Shema from it at bedtime. Tosfos and Sota asks that we find an even smaller parsha that was written on a piece of parchment. And the Mishnah in Sota describes that when a woman drank the Sota waters, the parsha Sota would be written on a piece of parchment by itself, and it would be dipped into the water and erased. And Tosfos asks why the Mishnah here says that the minimum size of a piece of parchment is based on the size of the smallest parsha and tefillin, when the parsha sota is even smaller. Like, why is the minimum size of a piece of parchment only the size of a paragraph of Shema Yisrael and not the smaller size of the paragraph of sota? So Tosfos and Sota Yudzayin Amalef answer that since the parsha sota is not written as frequently as the parsha Shema, it's not used to establish the minimum size of a piece of parchment with regard to Otsah. Rav Reuven Margolius in the Mikra of a Masorah explains that if one carefully counts the letters of the Parsha Shema and those of the Parsha Sota, you're going to notice that Shema is longer in the letter count than Sota. But if you count the words of each Parsha, you'll notice that Sota actually has more words than Shema. And that's possible because the words in Parsha Sota are shorter than the words of Shema. Now, when you write a Parsha on parchment, you have to take into account the blank spaces between the words. So therefore, if you write the number of blank spaces, which are equal to one letter's width, between the words in each Parsha, and then you add it to the letter count of each Parsha, the total letter count of Parsha Sota is going to come out to 254. And the total letter count of Parsha Shema will only come to 252. So when somebody writes Shema on a piece of parchment, one actually writes less than when you're writing the Parsha of Sota on parchment. And that's why Shema determines the minimum shear for Hotza on a piece of parchment. New topic is that Abaye says the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda argue about Moda Bishtar Shekasvo Tzarech Lekaimo. When the borrower admits to the authenticity of the contract has to be validated. And the Tanakama holds that the contract has to be validated even though the borrower admits it, that he wrote it. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that it doesn't need any further validation. Now, in all the different sugyas and shas in which this concept appears, Rashi explains this concept means that even though the borrower admits to the authenticity of the contract, the lender has to still validate it. And therefore, if a person says, it's true that I borrowed money from you and wrote the contract, but I already paid back, I already paid the debt back, the lender has to bring witnesses, adekim, to authenticate the contract. So Rashi explains a little differently. He says that Tzarech Lekaimo refers to the borrower. So what does it mean that the borrower has to validate the contract? It means that he has to admit, I did not pay back the debt, in order for the contract to be kosher for the lender to collect with it. Now, why does Rashi here give this entirely different explanation for this concept? Why does he simply say that Tzarech Lekaimo refers to the lender? It means that the lender has to validate the contract by bringing witnesses. And second, according to Rashi's explanation, why does the Gemara say the contract is considered a significant and usable object, so that the lender walks out with it on Shabbos, he's chayav for hotzah, when the borrower did not say that he already paid and did not admit or deny the claim? So the borrower's silence is not what makes the contract usable. The contract is usable only when the borrower says, I did not pay, and admits to the claim. So why is the contract worth anything? It must be that the borrower said the contract was valid, and he said no more. Then later, the lender came back with him with the contract and demanded to be paid. Normally, modu b'shtar shekosvo means that the borrower says that he both wrote the contract and that he paid back the debt already. So here, however, means that he said only that it's a valid contract, and he said nothing whether he paid it back. So tzarech lekaimo means that saying the contract is valid is still not enough. He has to say also later at the time of collection that he didn't pay it back yet. And that implies that a migu lamafreya is a valid claim in court, as Tosus and Bava Basra says is Rashi's opinion. Now, that approach would answer the first question, meaning Rashi wants to make it clear that according to the sugya, the borrower did not yet deny the charges when he said that he paid. And the one who says tzarech lekaimo holds that the contract is valid by default, while the other opinion holds that the contract is invalid by default even before the borrower insists that he pay. That's why she explains why the borrower has to admit that he didn't pay later when brought to court for the contract to be